Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in beautiful Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is so great to be back. Little four-day vacay for me. Joy Taylor, my partner, was jet-setting around Europe and eating perfect pizza in Italy. If you don't follow Joy on Instagram, that is a you problem, because her new life. Congratulations. Great to have you back. Alex
thank
Curry,
you.
Thank you so much for filling in. Yes. Joy, it's great to have you back.
So glad to be back. It was a pretty amazing trip, but I'm glad to be back.
Wow.
I'm ruined, though, for food for life.
Yeah, you can't eat normal tomatoes the rest of your life.
What am I going to do? I love tomatoes. It's ruined. It's over.
You know, it's great to have you in today, and I was one of those kids, came from a divorced family. I never resented the kids who went to the prep schools and went to the colleges that were paid for and didn't have to work in college or at a state park or in a fishing boat like I did, because I always knew there were kids who had it harder than me. I actually had a dad that, you know, was an optometrist. That's way better than average. I had a loving mom. But sometimes in America, we often resent people who have it, quote, easy. And we shouldn't, because there's 2, 3, 4 different lanes to end up with the life you want. And this morning, I am genuinely happy for the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, their quarterback, who got a $260 million contract. And I'm not just happy for him because he and his family are now rich. I am happy because the system in America that we have provides avenues for both kids who have it a little easier and kids who don't. They're a little gangly. You don't come from a lot of money. But in the end, in America, my mom used to say this, my late mother who grew up in England, they've got a royal family. You're born into it or you're not. That's not America. People often look at Josh Allen and say, well, I mean, he wasn't very good his first year. How come you're so hard on Tua and Daniel Jones? Let me tell you why. Because Josh Allen didn't go to a perfect high school football power. He went to Firebaugh High School. Look it up. You won't be able to find it. His dad, a regular guy, sent tapes and tapes and tapes of his son to the local college, Fresno State. They weren't interested. He didn't have great high school coaching. Then he went to Wyoming. This is not a knock on their football coach, but he has a losing record, and that's with Josh Allen. As much as I like Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, he had Bobby Petrino, a great coach. As much as Baker Mayfield has succeeded, let's give Lincoln Riley some help, a great coach. When Josh Allen got Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator at Buffalo, it was the first elite offensive mind he'd ever have. I have nothing against Daniel Jones. I have nothing against Tua. But I will expect more from you because you did the kind of prep school, elite college route. One of you had David Cutcliffe at Duke, one of the brilliant college offensive minds. And Tua had Nick Saban and Sark. I've said before, I am far less patient on quarterbacks than I've ever been. Because we have an ecosystem now for quarterbacks where they have 10,000 snaps by the time they're 11. But Josh Allen didn't. He didn't come from big money. He didn't go to a big high school. He didn't go to a big college. He didn't have an NFL guy in college. Josh Allen is the story that also works in America. And congratulations to the Buffalo Bills. Because in America, we are a home for capitalists. And there's a lot of money for the prep school route. And there's also a lot of money if you trust your instincts and you get a kid from Wyoming that is really big and gangly and throws a lot of interceptions and he's not refined and he's not polished, and you just trust him and you surround him with great support, That is not just an NFL story. It's a story all across America. And Jordan Palmer, the quarterback coach who has worked with him and spotted him early, talked about Josh Allen, his situation, and why it is a perfect fit.
He's worked really hard. He's developed. He's ahead of a lot of people's schedule, if there was one. But he's also in a spot where Brian Daboll, Brandon Bean brings in, makes these moves to get him, and then they build around him. Josh Allen deserves a lot of credit for his success, but what Terry and Kim Pegula have done to not just go get him, but the pieces that are around him, he really is in one of the most desirable situations that you can be in.
By the way, do not resent those who have it easier than you do. Don't. That path works too. But the two highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Uncoachable traits and incredibly coachable attitudes. And a football life full of bumps. The struggle's real. You can get there that way too. All right, let's shift gears to the Jets. Probably won't talk a lot about them this year, so let's give them a little love. Or not. They drafted Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson reminds me a little too much of Johnny Manziel. Small, cocky, and comes from wealth. Hope he does well. There's a little Johnny Manziel here. But I heard a quote from his coach this weekend, and we've just got to put a stop to quotes like this, and I'll explain it after. So Zach Wilson really struggled this weekend in a simulated game. He was bad. Really bad. I mean, egregiously bad. And his coach was there to defend him.
For most rookies, for especially on the offensive side, but for everyone, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It is what it is. There's just a lot of things that happen. I mean, there's a reason why being a rookie is hard in this league. There's a Hall of Famer yesterday that was inducted in that had a 71 quarterback rating his rookie year. It's not easy to play quarterback in this league as a rookie, especially quarterback. But it is going to get worse before it gets better. But he's at that point now where he's going to be able to stack up days, and we got all the utmost confidence in him and his ability to figure out the mistakes and correct them and get to a better place.
Okay, new rule. I add another new rule every month. Let's stop comparing quarterbacks who played 23 years ago to today. Okay, you know I love Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning and the Manning family are American football royalty. The Hall of Fame this weekend was just all sorts of awesome. So this is nothing against Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning played in a different era. Quarterbacks today have four things going for them. Number one, every rule is built for offense. Number two, most of these college quarterbacks enter the NFL, with much better coaching. Number three is the offensive coaching in the NFL today is better. And number four is in the 90s, receivers would not go over the middle. There used to be a term called alligator arms because you could take their heads off. Every team had maybe one receiver. The Cowboys had Michael Irvin, who was willing to go over the middle and get hit. Now, all receivers love to go over the middle because you can't hit them. So, let's stop with comparing stuff. Peyton Manning had a much tougher life. And Peyton Manning, you say, well, yeah, his dad's Archie Manning. Back then, like Marvin Harrison, all play one side of the field. Guys didn't want to go over the middle of the field. The offensive coaching now is so sophisticated. We've got to stop that. So let's just stop that. Zach Wilson's reality is much closer to Lamar Jackson or a Baker Mayfield than it is to Peyton Manning. And I'll give you an example of this. Just how quarterbacking has changed. Is I'm going to give you a rock star quarterback from every decade. And these are all great. And this is not a criticism of any quarterback. But this is how the world has changed for quarterbacks. So I don't want to hear about Zach Wilson and Peyton Manning. By and large, unless you had a Josh Allen trajectory, which is high school, college, it took you a while. Just think about this. Joe Namath, Broadway Joe. His completion percentage in the NFL was 50%, and he's a Hall of Famer. John Elway was a rock star in the 80s, early 90s. He completed 57%. Troy Aikman was a rock star in the 90s. He completed 61%. Peyton Manning's a rock star in the 2000s. He completed 65%. Drew Brees' last 5 years in the league, he completed 72%. Okay. So, again, this is not a criticism of anybody. But the reality is, when you start looking back and go, well, Peyton Manning, don't. The game now is different. We are watching a different football game. By the way, it's a better football game. It is a safer football game. It's more offensive-minded. I'm all for it. But the NFL today, to me, is much more enjoyable. I can remember years ago, 20 years ago, when Peyton Manning broke into the league, the promotional videos weren't great catches. It was hits. They were selling like, hey, buy this tape for the biggest hits in the NFL. You look at that stuff now, you're like, you get thrown out of games. You get somebody's going to get hurt here. The NFL's never been better. They finally figured out. We didn't watch the games for defense. We watched them for quarterbacks and offense. We watched them for running backs and wide receivers. Everybody always says, oh, I love defense. No, you love your great defense. But if I told you that the opening week of the NFL, the average score was 29-27 or 14-12, which would you take? You tell me, what teams do you watch? I watch a lot of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I watch Tom Brady games. I watch a lot of Peyton Manning games. I didn't spend a lot of time last year, you know, watching the Jags offense. So I'm rooting for Zach Wilson, but let's not go back 25 years with quarterbacks and go, I mean, look at what Peyton Manning faced. You saw the eras. You saw the rock stars. If you don't complete now 63-64%, you either have a bad coach, a bad offensive line, or your team should be on the phone looking for another quarterback. All right, great to have you in. Nice to be back. Joy spent time. I'm not a jealous person, but pretty jelly this morning. That was pretty amazing. You know what I'm going to say next is I'm going to how can I say this? I'm going to briefly talk about Baker Mayfield. I was literally last 4 days had two people come up to me and go, "How do you think Baker's going to do? How do you think Baker's going to do?" So I want to just talk about Baker because there's a lot of optimism, justifiably so, around the Browns. And we'll talk about that on a Tuesday. It's great to be back, and thanks for having us back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Simply Safe, been making people feel safe at home for the past 15 years. Go to SimplySafeColin.com, SimplySafeColin.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. So, and I am trotting around America on jet skis with my buddy Eric this weekend, just being an idiot. When I'm doing things like that, people often come up to me and say, "Hey, how do you think Baker Mayfield's going to do this year?" You'd be amazed how often they do it. And I say to them, "I don't know. I think they're pretty good. Do you think he's going to get a contract?" Well, yeah, I think so. And I want to talk about this because Josh Allen got a massive deal. Now, here are the quarterbacks that got drafted in the Josh Allen class. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson. Josh Allen was the first to get paid big money. That's the way it should have worked because he's the best quarterback of them. Lamar Jackson second, Baker third, Sam Darnold right now fourth, and Josh Allen fifth. So the best player got paid. Right now, I think he's the best player at that position, Josh Allen. Size, huge. Arm, insane. Athleticism, wacko, crazy good. Maturity, appears to have a lot of it. $288 million. Baker Mayfield, size, he's short. Athleticism, not great. Arm, good enough. Maturity, got his issues. He deserves about half of what Josh Allen gets. But Baker is going to get paid. And there are two reasons why. One is the Cleveland roster is excellent. I think he has an excellent young coach, as far as I can tell. I think he has an excellent young general manager. He's going to win games. But the second reason he's going to get paid, it's not about having a great agent. Baker has great leverage, and it's called fear. Companies are often petrified of going backwards. And Cleveland, the bar is so low that Baker Mayfield, by just getting them to a playoff game, is viewed as a savior. Just consider this with Cleveland. Baker last year was the first quarterback to just start every game in a season in 20 years. There have been 33 starting quarterbacks since their previous playoff win. When people who have struggled, often through their own dysfunction, get a little taste of success, oh, they do not want to risk going backwards. Baker Mayfield doesn't even need an agent. He has the leverage of fear, and Cleveland's going to give him a big contract. Their NBA team in Cleveland, what a shock. It's a mess again. Their baseball team in Cleveland, what a shock. It's rebuilding again. And their football team's actually really good. I mean, people are talking Super Bowl and stuff. In Los Angeles, Jared Goff got the Rams to a Super Bowl, and they bailed on him 2 years later. Why? Because Los Angeles is a dynamic sports city. The college football team USC has won 7 national titles. The Lakers have won a bunch. The Dodgers just won. LA Kings have won a Stanley Cup. Los Angeles is a home of winners. Fear is not what drives us here. The state, Silicon Valley, evolve, adapt. But in Cleveland, they won a playoff game in football. They're not moving off their quarterback. I mean, think about that. Jared Goff, big contract, got to a Super Bowl. They're like, very LA. Well, it's good. Good. Our goal's not to be good. They got rid of him and gave up picks. Because fear doesn't drive the Rams or the Lakers or the Dodgers. It does in Cleveland. So congratulations, Baker. You're going to get a big contract if you don't screw it up, and I don't think you will. I don't think you deserve Josh Allen money, and I don't think anybody, any reasonable fan, thinks you do. But you're doing something that Cleveland doesn't experience much, and it is the reason that even if you didn't go to the playoffs this year and were 10-7 but pretty good, you're getting the bag. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Someone who did get the bag is Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys have been extra cautious with him since he suffered a shoulder sprain. According to Mike McCarthy, Dak did do some light throwing on Saturday for the first time since leaving practice on July 28th and continues to improve. And despite the shoulder injury, Dak has taken part in footwork drills and done some extensive conditioning work. And his surgically repaired ankle has not been an issue at all. I am rooting.
I don't know what you're doing. I am rooting for him to get healthy.
Oh, of course.
I got Carson Wentz is already out. I don't want to hear about our starting quarterbacks getting hurt. Like, get healthy.
Of course I'm rooting for this. I'm nervous about it. I'm very nervous.
So I honestly look at this and I'm like, okay, I got Carson Wentz out. I don't want these good teams.
Yeah.
All right, like
no, we don't know what we want.
The Houston situation, who knows what's going on there?
Disaster.
Indianapolis right now. So it's like, this story is like, can we make sure Dak's ready to go?
No, it's a bad situation. Like, as far as I look at it, you don't want Dak going into the season not healthy, because for all the talk of all the moves that the Cowboys have made, and it's now Mike McCarthy's second season, and we have a new defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn, and they've made great draft picks, and we're running it back, and Zeke has a chip on his shoulder. If Dak's not out there,
it's not a good team.
Thank you for showing up today.
It's over.
We'll be discussing this division between the Washington football team and the New York football Giants, which are contingent on Saquon Barkley's health as well. So, yeah, this is a situation that is really serious for the Cowboys. And if you look at their backup quarterback situation.
What is it?
Ben DiNucci.
Okay, that's not great. Yeah.
Garrett Gilbert.
Nope, not gonna.
I mean, they don't have a viable backup quarterback.
Right.
So this is a longer season now. We have an extra game now this year. His ankle was never a concern of mine. You can come back from injuries these days.
Right.
Excellent medical teams and rehab and lasers and
the innovations medically.
He's young. He'll be okay.
Yeah.
But as we often see, when you're coming back from an injury, you sometimes tweak something else because you're overcompensating.
Yes.
Who knows what happened here? But they need to be very, very cautious because this season is going to go, how Dak goes. Hard Knocks actually premieres tonight as well.
So it does.
Begins to Hard get Knocks our behind tonight. The scenes.
All right, there we go.
Of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's our lead
tonight.
Tomorrow. Oh,
for sure. I cannot wait.
All right.
So Luka Doncic will be staying in Dallas for a while. He signed a 5-year, $207 million Supermax rookie extension with the Mavs.
Yeah.
The deal will kick in for the 22-23 season and keep him in Dallas until 2027. This is also the largest Supermax rookie extension signed in NBA history, and he is 22 years old and just finished his third season.
You know, Joey, it's interesting. This is not a revelation, but I thought the Olympics, I mean, he was going to get the contract. But boy, when you watch Slovenia and you watched him, it was like, get him signed. Like, just get
it done.
I mean, it is a remarkable. We talked about this earlier. It almost reminds me of Larry Bird for Indiana State. And I'm old enough to remember this. Everybody remembers the Magic Johnson Michigan State team that won the championship. They played Indiana State, which we've never talked about since. It was Larry Bird and dudes. It's amazing. And Larry Bird, the hick from French Lick is what they called him, took Indiana State to the championship game against Magic Johnson, which had Judd Heathcote, legendary coach. Michigan State had Greg Kelser, NBA player. But when you were watching him in Slovenia, you're like, are we undervaluing how great he is?
No, I think we know how great he is. I think we're being a little bit, how we tend to do, a little reactionary to how the Mavs have finished in the playoffs. Now, look, they should have a sense of urgency about them because they do have Luka Doncic. But, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, well, you know, is he going to regret staying there? Can the Mavs put it together? And he's 22 years old. Just calm down a little bit. It's like, Giannis just won the championship in, what, his ninth season?
Yeah.
He's been league MVP twice.
Like, right.
Defensive player of the year. It takes time to put these things together. And we are all very impatient, myself included.
But we have, you know, Joy, with these salary caps, you can want to do a lot.
Right. But that depends on the organization. Like, yeah. Luka can go out there and continue to improve. And there are some parts of his game that he can become more efficient at. But he has the obvious raw talent. So what do you do if you're the Dallas Mavs? Get him signed. Make sure he's comfortable. He feels good. He's got his $200 million. You've got Jason Kidd. You've got Nico Harrison. Now get together, get in the lab, and start putting pieces around him that actually fit. And that might take a little bit of time,
but
you've bought yourself that with this contract.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the minute you paid Porzingis that big money, now you're tied to that contract. You're not going to be able to move that contract probably until the last year of it at the trading deadline when it's an expiring contract. So this stuff, as you pointed out, does take time. Great stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
A guy that's very busy all the time, breaking stories and doing his thing. And his career's taken off. He's got a big podcast everybody loves, and he's all over the place. Peter Schrager's on Good Morning Football, and he is joining us, Fox Sports NFL reporter, joining us live. Well, your vacation's over, pal. It's football season, and we got a full diet of Peter Schrager. Well, that looks a little vacation-y. You got a couple of weekends left here behind you. That's very nice.
I mean, this is Brooklyn, New York, Colin, where there are garbage trucks outside. This is not Los Angeles. You're talking about Los Angeles, city of winners. I'm in Brooklyn where, I don't know, just make up what you think it is. I don't know.
So let's start, Schrags, with, we don't want to make too much about this, but you know, Zach Wilson struggled. This is a tough situation. This is not Trey Lance with an elite O-line. And I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but is there a little bit of the Schrags you're like, he was not very good. He looks a little over his skis, or are we just being over the top here?
No, you're not being over the top. And I thought you were excellent with Mark Sanchez a few weeks ago, talking about what he came into the Jets organization as a rookie. And he had all these veteran players and a veteran defense and this great offensive line. Zach Wilson has not looked good this preseason or this training camp. He went 11 of 27 with two interceptions in front of all the fans in a scrimmage on the other day. And then today went 10 of 17, got sacked six times and had an interception in all his reps at practice this morning, which just wrapped up. He also banged his finger on a pass rusher throwing the ball. And here's what the message I'm getting from everyone in Florham Park in New Jersey. It's like, slow down. First-year offensive coordinator, young offensive line, no top receiver to name, and a situation where it's a complete rebuild. So this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I wouldn't expect the Jets to be in the playoffs, but they know that. And they're excited about Mekhi Becton, the left tackle. Once Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman from USC, gets on the field, they think he's good. And there's hope for Mims and Elijah Moore. So this is a long-term play. It's nothing against the player. This isn't like they're kicking themselves. We should have taken Fields or Lance because of a couple of practices in August. But yes, this is not going to be an offense that lights up the league. And they know that.
All right. So, it's interesting. You would think Michael Thomas and the Saints would love each other. He's productive. They should love him. And he's with he and Andy Reid and Sean Payton are the best coaches. Something, and Joy and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and this is where you have such insight. Last year it was uneven. It just isn't right. It should be smoother. And now there's cryptic tweets. I don't want to read too much into that, but what's up with Michael Thomas and the Saints? What's the rub here? I don't get it.
Well, it's not good. And last year, you mentioned it. He got in a fight with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yes.
And got suspended by Sean Payton. Well, this offseason goes, he's supposed to get some surgery done. He says, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to handle it. Or he says that his people are going to work on it. He goes away for 3 months. And the story that was reported by the New Orleans Times-Picayune this morning is that for 3 months, the Saints could not get a hold of Michael Thomas, could not get a hold of him. And he pushed off surgery, shows up to training camp, and is like, all right, now I'm going to get that surgery. Well, I mean, for 3 months, think about if any of your employers, Colin, if you went vanishing for 3 months and you said, I'm getting something taken care of it. And then 3 months go by and you show up back to work and say, actually, I need to get this done now. I didn't do it in those 3 months. So there's obviously an issue here with the Saints. The problem is, A, we haven't heard Michael Thomas's side. Sean Payton won't speak on it publicly. And lastly, the way they wrote his contract last year where they gave him huge money, if they trade him, they still have to pay him $33 million because of the dead cap money. It's still on them. That's the way the contract was written. So they're in a tough spot. He's not a player that it's just easy to trade because another team doesn't take on his contract. They're still paying for him. Obviously, this is as bad as it's been between Michael Thomas and the Saints, but I don't expect him to show up and be happy anytime soon. Obviously, they have to work things out. And if you can't play for Sean Payton, who's the ultimate player's coach, and you can't get on board with what he preaches because guys love playing for Sean and they believe like he's one of them and it's them against the world and it's the Saints versus the rest of the league, even the league office sometimes. Well, I'm not sure what team's even a better fit for Michael Thomas. He hasn't spoken publicly, but I'm only speaking on it from what I hear. And clearly it's a situation of communication and also what happened this offseason.
Peter Schrager joining us, Fox NFL reporter, among his other duties. So the Deshaun Watson stuff, again, you go to social media, you'll get a million opinions. They clearly on the market would have some value, but I'm not sure how much value. Can you give us some clarity on that situation in Houston with, by the way, a quarterback most of his view as a top five or six guy in the league?
Yeah, I think he's in the top 10. And when he's in and he's on the field and he's got a star receiver like he had DeAndre Hopkins a few years ago, he was a top five. Nick Caserio, the general manager, spoke publicly this morning. He said Deshaun Watson will not be traveling to Green Bay for the preseason game. He's been there, but hasn't been practicing necessarily at the quarterback position. And the league still has not done anything as far as putting him on the commissioner exempt list or weighed in on a judgment on the 22 cases that he was dealt with this or accusations that he was dealt with this offseason. So there's this feeling of him being in limbo, not only with the Texans, but also with the league. Like, is this guy going to be even allowed to play this year? So I would say keep an eye on this one because he still does not seem happy in Houston. We still have a lot of different teams that could be looking at quarterback, and I haven't heard any talks heat up in the last 72 hours or anything like that, but this is one of those deals where I would not be shocked if he is still dealt. And I look at teams around the league, and one of them that's been mentioned a bunch and people have been dismissing it, I don't think it's crazy for the Philadelphia Eagles to look into Deshaun Watson, but I think knowing that organization, they would want to know from the commissioner that he's good and from the league office that he's good before they even entertain those. But Jalen Hurts is their quarterback right now, but gosh, they go from Jalen Hurst to Deshaun Watson. We're talking a different tone about the Philadelphia Eagles this season.
And finally, it was a couple years ago, 3 years ago, and Schrager was not nearly the media rock star he is today, but Schrager said to me, this is kid named Patrick Mahomes. And so I Google Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, Schrager, he doesn't even win in college. Schrager's like, no. He's going to take the league over. And I'm like, well, Schrager could have been on some medication I wasn't aware of. Yeah. I didn't have any idea. So here we are. They are favored, not Tampa. They are favored to win the Super Bowl. You've always had a great relationship with this organization and insight. Do you, I don't know, Buffalo, Kansas City. I don't know. Do you like them? You make a prediction every year. You put it out there. Yeah. And last year, you predicted, was it Tampa and Kansas City in the Super Bowl? So you've been pretty good on this. Your thoughts about the Chiefs going forward this year?
I'll say this, Colin, and I appreciate you calling me out for that. You always do show me my respect for that, but that was all on Mahomes and what he did. This year, there was a lot of concerns in the offseason about their offensive line.
Yes.
And not only did they address it, I think they got one of the best offensive lines in football. And the player I'm going to give you a name for, this is why people listen to The Herd. They want to hear about offensive guard play. But the player's name is Trey Smith, and he's an offensive guard who they took in the sixth round.
Yes, from Tennessee, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. So he slipped because of medical concerns. He is dominating Chiefs training camp this summer. Like dominating the defensive line, the first line. They are so excited about him and Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma. They also brought in Orlando Brown. They get back Tardif, the doctor who was up in Canada. They have rebuilt this entire offensive line. And I can tell you that they believe Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get humming in year two. Mahomes looks healthy. He looks good. I think the Chiefs are going to come roaring back with a vengeance. And I think they like the fact that they're kind of being dismissed after that Super Bowl performance. But yes, Colin, you're asking me for a bold prediction. A right guard who is drafted in the sixth round on a team that plays in a CBS market. Trey Smith, that's my guy. Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be back, and they're going to be better than ever this year.
All right, Schrags, good luck to you and all your stuff you're doing. Your podcast is great. Peter Schrager, congrats on all of it, and we'll talk soon, bud.
You're the best, Colin. Always appreciate coming on with you. Enjoy. Thank you.
All right, good stuff. Good morning football as well, the crew over there. And so that's a funny story on Trey Smith. So Trey Smith was a great recruit, and he goes to Tennessee. And he, you know, it's funny. So every year there's somebody who drops in the draft. It was Trey Smith. So I had called an NFL guy before, and I said, man, everybody's bad-mouthing this kid. And he's like, medical concerns. And he said, probably top of the third. Nobody drafted him. Top of the fourth. Nobody drafted him. Top of the fifth. Nobody drafted him. Trey Smith went sixth round. And he was a great college player in a wobbly program, Tennessee, that can never seem to quite get their act together. So there you go. And I tell you, Schrager a couple years ago, and Mahomes wasn't playing. He goes, there's this kid that's going to take the league over. I'm like, it's week eight. He hasn't taken a snap.
You and Andy Reid. Didn't Andy Reid have to be convinced about it?
Yeah, Andy Reid. Brett Veach is like, there's a tape from Texas Tech. Andy's like, I'm busy. I'm having ribs for lunch, and I'm dominating life. I don't want to hear from you. And it's like, Mahomes just exploded. So it's great. Isn't it great? Mahomes and Josh Allen, highest paid quarterbacks. But neither one in college.
Yeah, sometimes you can just work hard, guys.
Yeah. Be coachable, work hard, have some cool traits. All right. Russell Wilson's talking again. And Seattle, I hope you're listening.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Tired of waiting around for hot water? Choose Navien Instant Hot Water. Save hundreds on a Navien tankless water heater. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. So, you know, when you are, you know, you're remodeling a house, you're rebuilding a house, right? And you have a budget. We've all got a budget. I've been going through this for the last several months. You have a budget. You got to make sure with a budget, you spend the money in the right places. You know, that if you ever had to sell your home, you don't waste money on a kid's bathroom. You know, you spend your money on kitchens, make sure you spend it on floors, sometimes a master bath, you know. Spend it on the stuff, we can get your money back, all right? Or the stuff like your roof that you can't get the house sold because it's bad. Like there's certain things you got to spend your money on with a house. Well, it's the same with an NFL team. You just can't pay everybody. Sometimes I listen to young media, they want to pay everybody. It's a salary cap. You got to pay your quarterback. You got to pay a great left tackle, ask Patrick Mahomes, to protect the quarterback. And then there's usually a defensive captain or a great defensive player, pay up. There are certain positions that are more valuable than other positions. I wouldn't pay punters a lot. Safeties, he better be great. So right now, Seattle got a little bit of an issue. They got a left tackle. He's Dwayne Brown. He's really good. He's really valuable. And Seattle, to me, has three gotta keeps. You gotta keep Russell happy. You gotta have a left tackle to protect Russell. And you gotta pay Bobby Wagner, who's about as good a linebacker as the NFL has had since maybe a Luke Kuechly and Ray Lewis. I mean, he's great. I love Jamal Adams, but he is a safety. And I like KJ Wright. He wants to get the bag. I'm not paying it. Here's Russell Wilson. Now, Dwayne Brown is at practice, but he wants a new contract, and he's not practicing. And this is the best division in football. You cannot mess around with Dwayne Brown, period. Here's Russ.
Not having Dwayne Brown out there is a, you know, pretty significant deal because I think he's one of the best left tackles in the game. You know, there's no arguing it. I think he's, you know, as good as it gets. There's nobody more athletic, more talented than he is. You know, age is just a number, you know. So we definitely want to be able to get him back out there, you know, and we got to figure that out because, you know, we need Dwayne Brown.
There's two things here. Number one, when Brady went to Tampa, Russell Wilson's been hit a lot. Aaron Rodgers has complained about this. You don't have to do everything the quarterback wants. But we've had multiple guests that come on this show. Albert Breer said this last week, is that quarterbacks need to be comfortable. Aaron Rodgers, can we keep Jordy Nelson for another year? It makes Aaron comfortable. You keep Jordy Nelson. Jared Cook, the tight end, made Aaron comfortable. His quarterback coach made Aaron comfortable. That's not being needy. That's not being high maintenance. Now, Aaron's perpetually discontent, so he's got different personality. But when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, quarterback coach, or a favorite receiver, just pay him. Just. Like the Randall Cobb thing, I think they paid way too much. But the argument is, he makes Aaron comfortable. That's where Green Bay says, we probably have to overpay for Randall Cobb, right? Tom Brady brought in Gronk. Didn't pay him a ton, but they paid him a lot for a guy past his prime. It makes Tom comfortable. You got to look at Russell Wilson's career. He's had the you-know-what, you know, bad O-line running for his life. For him, Seattle's done a really good job getting him some very athletic wide receivers. Seattle's front office got him Doug Baldwin, undrafted. Lockett, DK Metcalf. In fact, you know, Metcalf fell in the draft. Seattle went all in. So Seattle deserves a lot of credit for this, their front office. Russ has always had really captivating weapons. They've done a good job drafting receivers. Offensive line, not great. So it's the NFL. And Seattle, you know, I'm a kid that grew up there, right? Like, my knock on the Seattle front office, and I see this a little with the Rams and a little with the Cowboys, they're very top-heavy. And that leaves you very thin if one of your stars gets hurt. Seattle's been very willing to just surrender draft picks. Okay, let's not, I get that. I'll give up a first-round pick for, you know, Jalen Ramsey. But the value to draft picks, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth-round draft picks, is when they hit, you got a free player for 3 years. And Seattle, they only had three draft picks last year. They've gotten into kind of a win-now thing like the Rams. Seattle, to even a higher degree, they're just giving away draft picks. They gave up two for a safety, Jamal Adams, who I like. That's too many draft picks. You can't give up two first for a safety. I don't care who the safety is. So now they're in a situation where they got to pay Dwayne Brown. Translation, you got to start keeping some of these draft picks, and they've got to hit. You know, this is not baseball. Where the Dodgers just go by Trey Turner and Max Scherzer and we'll figure it out later. It's not the sport. You got to hit on some of these draft picks. By the way, I don't want to give this story is just too good to give away this hour. I'm going to tease. Has anybody noticed what Bruce Arians and Tom Brady dog cussing teammates all preseason? There's a reason for it. And this week, because it's Tuesday and I was gone jet skiing this weekend, is that I didn't do calling right, calling wrong this week. But I was really wrong 3 years ago on this show. And I questioned the NFL for some chaos, and I was really wrong. And it, boy, there's a story that came out this weekend, and I'm like, wow, they were right again. Question the NFL at your peril, because I criticized them multiple times 3 years ago for something, and a story came out this weekend, and they were right. It took a while, but they were right. Michael Vick's going to be joining us at the top of next hour. Good to see him. Peter Schrager had all sorts of great information. The Lakers now, Carmelo, Russell Westbrook, they're holding press conferences. The Lakers now, chatty. Kawhi, here's a story this weekend that I didn't think got a ton. I was off Friday. Kawhi Leonard signed a long-term deal with the Clippers. That is not, that's bigger than people think, because he was reportedly going to sign a one-year deal with the right to sign a four. Why didn't I like it? Because coming off surgery, why would he play next year and risk it? But they signed Kawhi Leonard to a four-year deal. That means he'll play next year. He got his money. So that is a big bonus for the Clippers. The Clippers said, you know what? We're gonna pay you right now up front, all of it. Kawhi, therefore, will play next year. Hour two next.